Okay, Psalm 68. We got as far as salvation there. That's a good place to stop and begin, of course. We had communion last week around that verse, came up to that place. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongs the issues from death or the escape from death. The ultimate enemy isn't a country, isn't a person. The ultimate enemy isn't even the kingdom of darkness. It isn't even the devil. It's death. And that's declared in Romans there. That Jesus would have ultimate victory over death and declare that victory over us. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord belongs the escapes, the issues from death. Our escape hatch. And that's a narrow way. He said, I am the door. He who comes by me doesn't go over the, climb over the wall or whatever, finds life, finds pasture. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your word. Thank you for Psalm 68. It's a powerful, powerful song about worship. It is worship itself, but it is also carrying the subject and the food of the material of worship to learn about it. In the configuration of worship, you can think of a vortex, which is like a circle that swirls around into the center. And some vortexes we're not too fond of, like the polar vortex, which brings ultra cold air down and sometimes a lot of snow. Vortexes of whirlwinds that cause damage, like hurricanes and tornadoes. We're not too fond of those type of vortexes. In fact, the scripture talks about sowing to the flesh as a type of vortex of reaping a whirlwind of destruction. Sowing of things, you know, you're just spending time in the wrong places and you're investing in the wrong areas. And you just reap the whirlwind, it says. So that's a type of vortex that's not the one we want. But there is one that we do want. And it's very interesting to think of it that way because of it has the properties of destruction in it, something to destroy pride, which we need to have released and flushed out of our life in order to experience the salvation. You need to have pride crushed in your life, the original sin, before you can receive Jesus Christ. You need to humble yourself as a child, recognize that you're a sinner. What's happening there? Pride is being crushed. And Jesus comes in and occupies, and you become his possession. You follow him the rest of your days. That's our salvation. So unto God belongs these escapes from death. He is the door. Verse 21 is a promise. God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such a one as goes on still in his trespasses. This goes all the way back to Genesis 3 about the promise that Satan will be destroyed. So not only victory over death, the ultimate enemy, but victory over Satan, who is the king of death, the king of darkness, the prince of death. So it goes all the way to Genesis 3, a prophetic word that's spoken that his head will be bruised, that his head will be crushed. And here we see this in this particular song of worship, a powerful place that you can be. Where's the best place to be, you know, in any kind of event, any situation of life, in any moment of life, is to be in worship. In fact, our life is worship of God as a Christian. As a follower of Jesus, our life is one of worship. Terry was reading that today, you know, I've got this struggle going on inside of me. God, who will save me from this body of death of trying to toe the line and trying to walk right? And praise God that we enter in through that door called Christ and we discover this freedom. And it is a narrow way, but you enter in that narrow way called Christ and you discover this freedom like a funnel that opens up. The devil deceives you with just the opposite. He shows you the other side of the funnel like a bull in the cape, you know. He says, look how broad and wide you can have it. Come on in. Broad is the way to destruction. And you find out now your life is being narrowed down into this bondage. And you're in constriction on something. You're in this kind of almost can't even have breath anymore because you're so constricted. And just the opposite. Christ is the narrow way, and then it opens up into freedom. a very different freedom. The devil offers you free, D-U-M-B, free dumb. Just a lot of free things you can do, and it's like, hey, do this. If it feels good, do it. Those are slogans that drop out of hell. Okay, and they're all around us. Jesus says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's a narrow way, but it opens up into a beautiful open space of freedom. The invitation with the gospel is to come into that narrow place. Call Christ and confess your sin. Confess that you are a sinner. Allow your pride to be destroyed in this vortex as provided by God. That's a good kind of destruction. The Bible will have all kinds of analogies in it. Even children can be used in a bad way and a good way in the scripture. We see in a good way we are to humble ourselves as children in order to enter into the kingdom of God. It's like just that accepting and believing heart. And then we see children used in a negative way where it's like, don't be like a child in this one way where you just believe everything that's out there and be tossed to and fro with every doctrine that's coming through and blowing through. So vortexes, whirlwinds can be positive and they can be negative in the same context. God exists in this powerful vortex. We're going to look at some verses to support that so you guys don't think I'm crazy and just throwing things out there. Let's take a look at a few. Jeremiah 23. So that's to the right, about half an inch of papers. Jeremiah is one of the prophets. Jeremiah 23. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you. It's a consuming, all-consuming fire. The purpose of being caught up in this power of God, which is this vortex, is to bring you into the center of it. Bring you into the center of it. There you discover that peace of God. It's always that. God is bringing you in, always. That's the direction. So verses 19, I think just verse 19 and 20 there, of chapter 23 of Jeremiah the prophet. Poor Jeremiah, nobody would listen to this guy. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, pretty rough one. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. So I want to be in the direction of the vortex that's causing me to go inward into that center place, that sanctuary with God. I don't want to be the effect of the wrath of God and that caught up in that whirlwind that's just causing me to be destroyed. So you'll see both contexts here of whirlwind, but God using and describing himself in that way. So speaking of crushing enemies, speaking of that, that's part of what we hand over to God. We say the battle belongs to God. We say vengeance belongs to God. And we just believe as we stay in the center of that vortex of worship, we believe that God is taking care of things in his power and his strength. Let's take a look at another one. Isaiah 66, while we're over there, just turn right, just one more prophet. Or that'd be left, sorry about that. 66. And verse 45. Isaiah is a cool prophet. It's 66 chapters. It's like there's 66 books in the Bible. It's called the fifth gospel. It's in the Old Covenant. It talks about Christ so much, they call it the fifth gospel. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 66. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. and the slain of the Lord shall be many. So great power, but just seeing the configuration of God, how he presents himself. And we're going to see that in other areas. We're going to look at the scripture that Patty opened up with today, where there was a storm, a tempest. That's a whirlwind type of storm, a circular type of storm, very violent one. And we're going to see Jesus in that. We're going to look at Job, the whirlwind that was presented to Job. God presented himself as a whirlwind there. But now we're looking at the enemies being destroyed and the power of God and us being able to trust him with the situations that need to be dealt with. The battle belongs to him. The same victory that was declared over you will be declared around you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So back to Psalm 68 there. God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Bashan was one of the first cities that they encountered in the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey, just like we thought marriage would be, right? A land flowing with milk and honey, and it's life in white picket fence, and come home and the dog fetches the paper. Who did that? Walt Disney came up with that idea? No, it's like you enter the promised land, and right there, Og comes out. King Og from Bashan. And he wants to mess with you, okay? But there was victory there. So while we're on this earth, we have battles. We have difficulties. We have struggles. Even in the promised land, even in the places that God has called us to go. Behold, he calls us on paths of righteousness. Not easy paths. Not smooth rose gardens. That's not being preached here. We preach in the context of the scripture. That they're paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now we can look at difficult situations all around us and know that God can work good out of this. He can work good out of this situation. The world looks at situations and just can shake their head and doesn't know what to do with it or how to make sense of it. And gropes to find peace, making sense out of different situations that are difficult. The Christian looks at it and said, he leads me on these paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And they can be difficult ones. Valley of the shadow of death. A table in the presence of enemies. All the while. In all those situations, your cup is overflowing. You see the strength of God. Like you wouldn't see at a happy birthday party with pointy hats on and streamers going around. You wouldn't know the strength of God until you were in the valley of the shadow of death. That's when you know it. His strength is perfected in your weakness. That's the gospel. That's walking with Jesus. That's the life we live down here on this earth. His strength is perfected in my weakness. That's when I know the strength of God. I like the mountaintops. I like the cupcakes and blowing out the birthday candles. Well, some would say I don't like it, but, you know, it's nice. We need to have those moments as well. But when it feels like everything in my body is going to fly apart at any moment, and I'm going to lose my mind, and I cry out to God as if it's in my last breath, God, I need you now. And he shows up. He brings me to that place out of my crushed spirit. He will not despise a contrite and broken heart. He cleans me up. He sweeps me up into the dustpan. And he forms me new. He makes me new again. Out of the ashes. He does it time and time again in my life. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of my life. God picking up the pieces and making new again. Folks, you don't arrive when you're down here on this earth. You don't arrive at some perfect place. Oh, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be like her. They're so polished. No, they're not. Get over that. We're hurting down here. We're reflections of Him as much as we would allow it. In our pain, in our agony, in our deformity, in our struggle down here, we're to reflect Christ. That's the fellowship of His suffering. FOS, the fellowship of His suffering. So important. Why is it important just that we experience pain? No, because that's where we radiate the glory of God. We become not dead rocks like the moon, but radiating in the sky in beauty. That's our opportunity down here. That's our opportunity to reflect the light of God. I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, from difficult times. God's promise. Man, He knows every hair on our head. He knows when the sparrow falls. He takes account of every single tear. He is a God in the details. Thank You, Jesus. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thy enemies and the tongue of the dogs in the same, thy dogs in the same. This is talking about complete victory. God does not fool around and give half victory. You don't have to complete the job for God. You don't have to kick what is already down. You don't have to finish it off. God does a complete job when He is judging and chastening. You don't have to add to it. He's complete and thorough in His process and in His time. Verse 24, beautiful place we're coming to now. A lot of S words here. Strength of the saints, sanctuary of singing. Just this little section here could be broken off into its own here. It's verses 24 through 27. Strength in His sanctuary. The singing saints. Mix those four words up any way you want, they come out. Speaking about intimacy with God. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went out, went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels, the ladies, playing the timbrels. We heard that today. A little bit of percussion happening out there. Beautiful. Bless ye God and the congregation, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, and the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. What a combination in the congregation. You have little Isaac with us today. He's no bigger than a football. There's little Benjamin. There's beauty in the congregation of God as they gather. There's mighty men. There's strong. And then there's the damsels playing the percussion. What a mixture happening of beauty in the sanctuary of God. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. This sets us apart. This sets us apart from different configurations of war. Our war is one of worship. Our worship is one of worship. It's a configuration of fire, a vortex of fire. That we enter in to our God who is a consuming fire. That's the safest place on earth. It's worshiping God. People would be burned at the stake worshiping God with a smile on. Still preaching the gospel to them that are burning them. How can you do that? Because you're in this place. You're in this vortex. It's real. We stand before us a cloud of witnesses of people that have gone before us in great strength, being imprisoned, being shackled, being despised and stepped on, yet having this worship going on in their heart, exploding unto God. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at Job, just the next book to the left, 38, chapter 38. Job 38, so just turn to the left. One book, and you're being Job. You know, Job is considered a poetic book. Don't sound like poetry to me. It just sounds like a guy going, ah! The ladies did that one. You guys, chapter after chapter, ah! Verse So where does that lead to, all of that? It leads to chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind after all of that. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" He's not speaking necessarily to Job, but all the counselors that were around him giving him all this cheap advice. You know, when people are going through suffering, sometimes the best thing is just to be there and resist that advice sometimes. Just to be there, to hold hands, to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. In this whirlwind, God is answering Job. In this tempest, he's called him into this place, drawing him in. Remember, the idea of that vortex always swirls to the center. He's going to be caught up into this and be swirled in. Goes verse after verse, chapter after chapter. Now forward, God is going to reveal to him great intimate things. Job is not going to have any questions anymore. This answers all his questions. Even though it doesn't directly answer them, it answers them. It answers his questions. The presence and intimacy of God in this whirlwind, this tempest. He's in the strength and power of worship now. He's worshiping God. How can someone go from, "I wish I was never born, and how could this be happening to me," to chapter 40 of Job? Of chapter 40, verse 3, Job answering and saying, "I'm vile. How can I even answer thee? I'll put my hand on my mouth. Once I've spoken, but I will not, yes, or twice, but I will not proceed further." Then God keeps pouring into him, these things of intimacy and the strength of God. Job is being healed. He's being broken. His pride, even in this place of great suffering, he still had pride that needed to be broken. He came through that place. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Getting our exercise through the Bible here all the way to the end, almost. What happened to that old custom of serenading? Anybody ever had somebody serenade to you?
Yes.
Come on, share it. Did I ever do that, huh? Maybe it's better I didn't. Ephesians 5 talks about singing one to another. You know, there's a serenading going on, and we get the idea of, you know, somebody wooing their prospective wife that way. But there's more to it, isn't there? Here in the assembly of loving each other, we can be doing that. We can be serenading one another, singing one to another. That's the type of loving each other. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. We know that. We don't need to go over that. Redeeming the time, verse 16. How do we do that? By understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has a will down here? Yes, he does. Does he have a plan for KK? Yes, he does. Does he have a will for Mindy? Yes, he does. First, he says what it's not. It's not to be drunk with wine. It's not to be filled with the things of earth that would inebriate us or numb us. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. In other words, to be drunk with it, be out of control, be numbed. But be filled with the Spirit. This is the will of God, to be filled with the Spirit. Terry shared from Romans chapter 7. This is the place of freedom that you go into. Amen. Being drunk with wine is entering into the wide gate and then finding yourself being controlled by it. Being filled with the Spirit is going through the narrow gate, then finding freedom on the outside. Just the reverse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to sing. I don't know what to pray. I'm in a situation where I feel lousy. Start thanking God. I don't know what to thank him for. Start thanking him that you have two pair of socks that match. If you don't have two pair of socks that match, thank him that you have two pair of socks. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. That's the will of God. It's the will of God. That's the place of freedom.
Yes.
Back to Psalm 68. The sanctuary, singers. Do you see the connection? The congregation. The damsels playing the timbrels. Say that 10 times. The fountain of Israel, God the Lord, the fountain, the presence of God in assemblies. Boy, did I hear it when you guys were sharing this morning from the Word of God. Patty opening right up to the place we're going to peek out at today. In the storm, the tempest, where Christ was in, the ultimate tempest, where he was in that boat there with the disciples anyway. So there is little Benjamin in the congregation. There is none that is too small. There is none that is not important to God. In fact, God would say, hey, pay attention to those lesser that you think are lesser. Pay attention to those that you think are less important, because those are very important to God. Thy God has commanded thy strength. In verse 28, back in Psalm 68. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. That was my first school bus. Back at St. Patrick's School, it just flashed in my head. Bus 68. Now the kids are lying right up. Thy God has commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. All of those things are to prioritize, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, this rebuking of the company of spearmen, all these things that we get caught up in. We have tendency to be distracted. One of my favorite things to do with Asher is to get distracted. Say, Asher, let's get distracted. And, you know, we're doing something and we'll go find something else to do. And then we'll, let's do this. And we've been up to, our record as being distracted 5 times from what we were doing. And it just becomes a game. It's kind of fun. But in this sense, it's not. There's a priority being called out here to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And how we do that? How do we do that? By singing unto God in verse 32. That's all those things are pointing to that. About letting go of the things that everybody else worries about. Jesus says, you know what? The heathen worry about that. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other things will be taken care of. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rides upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he does send out his voice in a mighty voice. Peter will bring this idea up, the heavens of old, the creation of God, that there will be mockers in the last day saying, you know, it wasn't created, it came about by accident. You know, and all of those things. That's the world we live in now. Congratulations, you live in the last days. You live in the last days. That's exciting. It's very exciting, because that means at any moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this is slow compared to a twinkling of an eye. It's like 1 billionth of a second. Boom, the believers will be taken out. It's called the rapture. It's the catching away. That will be the beginning of the very end. So that end is coming to a theater near you. But it's been in theaters, but the real deal is coming as well. We live in these last days where people mock and they say, well, it was accidentally, you know, there is no God. It says that in 2 Peter 3. They deny two things, then ultimately it brings them to deny the third. They deny that God created the things of old, as being said here. That God created the earth and the heavens and all the stars and all that. We're familiar with that. And then they deny the flood, God's judgment over the people. Oh, there was no flood. There was no flood. There's great evidence of a flood. It's interesting that Psalm 69 kind of begins that way. It says, save me, O God, for thy waters are come in my soul. I sink deep in the muck and the mire. And if you look at the fossil record, before you see the bones of creatures, you actually see footprints of the mammals and things like that. You'll see footprints in the mud. Then you'll see the bones above that. Very peculiar. And you see this all the way around the globe. You see this uniform thing that happened, event. It was, is Genesis history. Has anybody seen that movie or the DVD that was released? Very good. Very good. Powerful, powerful evidence in the geological layers that there was a global flood. But the mockers in the last days will say, no, there isn't. That just proves that there was billions of years. The evidence is super clear that there was a global event, a flood, God's judgment. So they deny those two things to make the third strike, and they're out on the third one, that God is coming again, that Jesus is coming soon. The coming judgment of this world is coming. So they bang, bang, they hit those two, then they're ready to hit you with this one. If they get you here, now you're weak enough, they'll take this one out. Don't worry, you can do what you want. Go get drunk, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. All of these things that you hear in the world, you're not going to face God someday. So they weaken these first two positions to knock you out. And that's the third strike there. Ascribe ye strength unto God. Just to finish up Psalm 68, his excellency is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art awesome out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that gives strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll break just a little bit into Psalm 69 here. I don't know if we started late. It feels like I haven't been talking too long. It's hard to stop right there. Let's break a little bit into Psalm 69. This brings us right into the heartbeat, where you can literally hear the heartbeat of God. It's called the fellowship of his suffering. As I encounter it in the Word of God, I'm studying the Bible, I will put an F-O-S next to it, a verse that indicates it's something about the fellowship of his suffering. And Psalm 69, man, it is right there. It is right there in the fellowship of his suffering. You might hear it referred to as a messianic psalm. That means it talks about Christ in the future, his cries from the cross, his life on this earth, how they rejected him and despised him and misused him and abused him. But we're called in that place of also being in fellowship. That means being in communion, being close to that pain that he had. Why? Because his pain is my peace. His pain is my healing. By his stripes I am healed. There's something very precious about the pain and suffering of Jesus Christ that I need to get real close to and be in fellowship with and even feel it. Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink deep in the mire, that's the muck, the mud, where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Ever been so stressed out you can't even read words on a page anymore? My eyes fail while I wait for my God. This dude is stressed. This David is stressed. Interesting, this particular song is called The One of Lilies. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, that's lilies. Your translation might say over there, or might just say Shoshanim, that's lilies. You know, these are the green pastures. These are the things that God makes us lay down in, these places, these times, these chapters in life. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Folks, I don't preach an easy believing up here. This is the walk that we have in Christ. We need each other. You need to be plugged into a body of believers. Don't try to do this by yourself. Don't try to live on an island. You need to be plugged in. You need to be part of the body. He's created that down here. It's called the bride of Christ. You need to be connected with him. I am weary of my crying. In verse 4, they hate me without a cause. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hair of my head. A lot of enemies. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. That I restored that what I took not even away. So they're being accused of things that you didn't do, and you got to pay back things that you didn't even steal. All of that. We know these are the things that happened to Christ. He had to pay. He was being punished for things he never did. Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. So interwoven in here, in the fellowship of his suffering, is Jesus' suffering and my suffering with him. In that place, I find healing. I find peace. I latch up to his suffering in my suffering. And that's where I'm healed. FOS, the fellowship of his suffering. This is the inner core. This is the inner sanctuary of Christianity. This isn't greasy kid stuff. This isn't stuff on the outside. This is right in the heartbeat of God here. The fellowship of his suffering, the anguish on the cross. You are so close. You are so close to this. You experience the peace of God because of his anguish. You know what it means by his stripes, I am healed. You know what it means that by this, his chastisement, what was pronounced over him, that I'm healed, that I experience peace. Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Don't let me cause anybody else to stumble. In my foolishness, God, please, Lord, just let me be transparent. I'm a clay here. I'm a piece of clay here. And let's not have errors one to another. You know, we are going to have sin. You're just going to be sin in the body of Christ. We need to deal with it in a way that we're not stumbling one another. We need to deal with a way. How do we deal with it? We get into this place of covering it with the grace of God, with the blood of Christ. That's where we're going to discover peace and healing and strength. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. That word reproach you'll see repeated over here. That's that thing that's like, ugh. That's the ugh thing. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. We know that happened with Jesus. That separation from family, the divorce essentially happening. Even his brothers turning against him, his very own brothers from Mary there. Different father. Same mother. Jesus was born into a family. He would have brothers and sisters, but they would even turn against him. There was only a few at the cross there. It would be Mom, John, I think another Mary. Very few. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. This would be repeated in the Gospels. We won't turn there. We don't have time today. This is Christ going in with that, remember that cord? And he would drive out the money changers, the garbage that was going on in the church. He would drive it out and make it a place of worship again. Thank you for that, Lord, that we would never do that here. It would turn into anything other than worship. Lord Jesus Christ, we would stay right on that. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. May you have that zeal for this place. Not only for this physical building, but your building, your body of believers, but brothers and sisters in Christ. You would have zeal. Not afraid to challenge. Not afraid to say, hey, stop doing that. Not afraid to challenge each other even and exhort and encourage. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb to them. They that sit at the gate speak against me. I was the song of drunkards. He's at the bottom of the barrel here in this particular suffering. So we're going to pick up here next week. We're going to talk about the storm that Jesus was on. Patty introduced us to at the beginning of service. We're going to get more into this fellowship of suffering. We're going to dig into this, what it means to discover this peace in the midst of difficulty. How do I connect my pain to his? How do I do that? So let's dig into that next week. This psalm is all about that, Psalm 69 going into 70. So I'm excited to get in there. This is the heartbeat of God. Read it ahead. Keep reading the scripture of God. Cleanse yourself by the washing of the water of the word. Cleanse each other. Husbands, cleanse your wives. Lord Jesus Christ, we know the days are evil. Help us to redeem the time, Lord God. Make use of every day, Lord, not to wish for Friday to come, just getting through Monday, getting through and getting by, Lord God. Help us see every day so, so precious. Lord God, open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord God, to the life that you have called us to, the place of freedom. Lord Jesus Christ, we declare that you have made it possible, Lord God, through that narrow way, that we would be free. We'd be a free people, Lord God, not in bondage, not able to actually sleep at night, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for that peace that comes, Lord. Help us dig into that. Be changed by it, Lord God, as we keep tangling up with your word here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.